Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for this moment and hour and time of fellowship together. As it is written, they continue daily in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayers. And, you know, they went from house to house. And God has given us this opportunity to use this platform for that daily fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here at the moment, everyone that will come in later on, everyone that might listen to the replay. We give you, Lord, the praise for everybody. Thank you, Lord. As always, we stand in the word of the Lord and in the message of the Lord to declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, O Lord, let that light shine our hearts today. Powerfully, to the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I just want to talk for a little bit and declare to you prophetically a blessing over your life today. And we're just going to use the word of God. Now, there's so many treasures in the word of God, if we can figure out how to use it. So many treasures. Today, I want to talk about the treasure and the power of your testimony. That's right. And, I'm talking about, today's testimonies leading to tomorrow's victories. In other words, according to the book of Revelation 12 and 11, powerful scripture. If you can get a hold of it and understand it, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. So we see something there that is so key, the word of their testimony. Now let's talk about testimony for a bit. You know, what is testimony? Well, it could mean any number of things. According to the dictionary, testimony could even mean either something that is written or spoken, a statement. Usually that people give in a court of law, it'll be a testimony. It could be evidence or proof of something. And it could also be an eyewitness account. Or, someone could, be called in as, for instance, an expert witness in a field. And they give that, testimony based on what they know. Additionally, in religious circles, testimony can be used to mean, somebody sharing their faith, an expression of, or a recounting of what God has done for them, what great things the Lord has done. I mean, that's even the scripture, talks about that. It says, for us to remember his marvelous works that he has done. I mean, that's one way of giving testimony to the Lord. According to Psalm 105, verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And then Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let me just read it from verse 1. Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Let them say that the Lord is good, and that his mercy endureth forever. Well, they can say it because they've experienced it. Yeah, so that's, you know, that's one way, you know, of giving testimony. And, you know, that's the commonest way that we give testimony. You can recount good things that the Lord has done, you know, for us. In fact, even Jesus encouraged people to do that. You know, go and tell what great things, you know, the Lord has done for you. Praise the Lord. You know, and so, you know, he, at times when he would heal somebody, you know, he would tell them, you know, don't broadcast it, but you go and tell your family, tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. You can give testimony like that, you know, by just recounting what the Lord has done for us. I mean, so that's a way. In the book of Mark chapter 5, you know, verse 19, Jesus encouraged somebody that received healing from him to give testimony, you know. So let's read the story. There was somebody, you know, that he had cast out a lot of devils from, that ran into the swine and so forth. You might remember, you know, that story. This was the story starting from Mark chapter 4, when they wanted to, Jesus said, cross over to the other side. When they got there finally, you know, there was they went into this place called Gadarenes. And there was a man there in a tomb with unclean spirit, dwelling among the tombs and so forth. Nobody could hold him down or even bind him with chains, because oftentimes they bound him like that, but he break all those chains and so forth. And he was a wild man. In any case, the Lord healed him that day, commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. He said, what is your name? I said, well, my name is Legion, because we are many. I said, well, you know, don't send us out of that place. Now, the Lord said, come out of there. And so there was a great number of swine in that place. And said, send us into the swine. And we entered them. Well, Jesus said, get out of there, you may go. And so the unclean spirit went and all that to the swine. Swine ran headlong and perished. Wow. You know, now, the people in the city were not happy about that. So the people lost their pigs. Jesus, a soul to Jesus, much more precious than 2,000 of swine. You know, anyway, when the man came to his right senses and his right mind, it was told him what had happened to him, and then so forth. And then, when he was come in the ship, the man who had been possessed came back into the ship, you know, prayed him that he might be with him. The man just said, hey, can I just stay with you? Can I follow you? And Jesus said, no. But he told him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion of thee. So, here we actually see that Jesus was encouraging somebody to go give testimony. And this is the usual kind of testimony, you know, that we are used to when the Lord has done something for us. And then we go and testify about it. In other words, we tell of what he has done. Same story in Luke chapter 8, the Lord said the same kind of thing in verse 39, return to thy own house and show how great things God had done for you, and so on. Now, the psalmist, one day, when he was recounting, you know, all of the things that God had done for him. He said, well, I mean, if I could number them, it would take a long time to number. And, you know, there's this song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, in Psalm 40, David said, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more that can be numbered. You know, so, you know, we can see that speaking of all the good things that the Lord has done, it's a good thing. It was a practice that people had. You know, even David was saying, well, you know, I can sit here, I can try to number them, but I don't think I can number them all because, you know, there's so much that the Lord has done, you know, and we are, you know, I mean, we are all familiar with, you know, that line of testimony. In fact, he said, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, in the great congregation. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, you know, and I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, and have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So this is what he was talking about in Psalm 40. Verses 9 through 10. He said, oh, I don't keep this to myself. I tell of it. I've not hidden it in my heart. I've declared it. I mean, the Lord does great things. You know, people come out and declare and give glory to God. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to give glory to God like that, you know. So we are all used to that way of giving testimony. You know, even in the Old Testament, Moses and others talking about, you know, the great things the Lord has done. You know, in Exodus 15, we see, you know, after the Lord gave them the tremendous victory, you know, over Pharaoh and the chariots and so forth. Well, he says in Exodus 5 verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So now they're singing, you know, about the great things that the Lord has done. The horse and the rider all of that is thrown in the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. The chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. And so they began to talk, you know, about the greatness of the Lord. You know, in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee, you know, and so forth. So it's a, you know, it's a good thing to give testimony like that to the Lord throughout the scriptures. You know, we see people do it, and it's a wonderful thing. And we all are well versed, and we know how to practice that. Sometimes some people do keep the Lord's testimonies, though. They don't say anything. You know, they just keep it to themselves. Well, you know, the here's another song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And O earth, hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew. Even as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, and begin to tell God great things. He is the rock. His way is perfect, and so on. You know, he was testifying here. He said, I will publish the name of the Lord. People took the name of the Lord as their banner. You know, in thy name, O Lord, will we set up our banner, they said. You know, go over us. I mean, go in front of us. And they, when the Lord, you know, did great things, they came and they testified, and they knew how to give glory to God. As a matter of fact, you know, people knew how to praise the Lord after the Lord has done great things, especially someone like David. He always loved to give tremendous praise to the Lord, you know, for all the great things that the Lord has done. He would talk about the saving strength of the Lord, you know, and God had given him victories. He would remember the story of when he came up against Goliath. He gave testimony when he would go up, and the king said, well, you can't do that. You're just a small, you know, young man. And this man is a renowned warrior from his youth. I mean, we've heard of all the exploits all around, you know, that he has done. You can't go up against him. This is a suicide mission. And David said, well, let not the king say so, because I'll tell you what, you know, I've seen the goodness of the Lord, and the Lord had delivered me in the past from impossible situations. You know, there was a time I was keeping my father's flock, and a lion came and took one of the lambs from the flock, and I went after him. You did what? Yep, I sure did. And what was the end of that story? Well, you know, I got in a hand-in-hand combat with the lion, and I took back what was mine. The Lord gave me that victory. He said, well, I remember even another time that a bear rose up against me. Now, usually, these shepherds, you know, in their culture, they were never out in the wilderness alone because of, you know, these kind of things. You know, sometimes wild animals will come up, you know, behind the flock when you're looking. I mean, you only have eyes in one direction. You're looking this way, they sneak up behind you and so forth. So they usually had, you know, a group of shepherds so they can watch in different directions. You know, they walk together like that. You know, the Bible says that even in the, in about the time that Jesus' birth will be announced, you know, there were shepherds, plural, watching their flocks by night, you know, and the angel of the Lord lighting upon them and so on. And that's how they used to do it. But David was a man that experienced isolation many times. You know, even his father would just throw him out there. But he turned that to his advantage in the moments when he was alone, when he was in peril and danger. I mean, he wrote these things like Psalm 23. You know, it would be there. You know, he was looking at what he was doing for the sheep, and he was using it to remember and also, you know, figure out what the Lord was doing for him. If he was a shepherd, well, he said, well, the Lord also is my shepherd, he's keeping me. I'm not going to be afraid out here, you know, no matter what, you know, I'm strengthening myself in the Lord. The Lord will be keep me. I can run through troops, I can leap over walls. I mean, he would just tell himself these things. Well, he said, I went against the bear also, told the king. There was a time a bear rose up against me. He took something that belonged to me, just like the lion did. I went after him. I challenged him. He pounded his chest like that, rose up against me like that. He was as big as this Goliath when he rose up against me. I've seen that. Been there, done that. The Lord gave me victory in those cases. Those were testimonies. See? But this leads me to today's lesson, actually. Using your testimonies from the past for two things. Number one. Well, actually, three things. To give glory to God. That's usually the first thing. We use the testimony to give glory to God for what he has done. Well, number two, just like David did here, you use the testimony to encourage yourself for the present conflict. Something God had already done in the past. You use it to encourage yourself for the present conflict. And he garnished strength and energy from the fact that, look, I've been through that situation before or similar. And the Lord delivered me. I mean, who can take, you know, it could take the prey out of the hand of a lion like that. You know, you can't do it. But the Lord said, he said, the Lord delivered me. You know, and, you know, a young man like that go up against a bear. Those bears, when they, you know, sometimes they're crouched over on four limbs. But when they stand up on two legs and, you know, raise up like that and pound their chest, they can be like 6, 7 or 8 foot or 9 foot tall. Just like Goliath. God had prepared him for it, you know. And he said, well, I've seen that before, and the Lord gave me victory. So that's another way of using your testimony. One, use it to praise the Lord. Two, you use it to gain strength for the present conflict. And three is the one I want to focus on today. A third way of using this, your testimony, you know, is to use it. It's kind of similar to what David did here, but use it before the battle. And David said the same thing. You know, he said, look, I'm going to go against this Philistine. I'm going to take him out. Yeah, I'm going to take him out. And he used this, you know, he spoke it out, what he was going to do, even while he was in doing it. He didn't wait until the end before he spoke it. So this is the lesson, and you've heard it before, that I just want to say to the room today, and then I'm going to make some powerful declarations for you. So, overcoming the devil by the word of your testimony. Well, let's put it to you this way. What's in your toolkit? What are your secret weapons, you know, when you are going through? Everybody going through at different times and different things. And more so these days, it looks like there's always all kinds of things, you know, that people have to deal with. Well, there are some powerful secret weapons that you can use to bring yourself, to get yourself victory. I call them the testimonies today, become your victories tomorrow. So that's where the title of this room comes from. You testify today of the victory that God is going to give you tomorrow. You don't have the victory yet, but you testify about it. I mean, we all know how to testify about what God has already done, that we have seen, tasted, enjoyed, and so forth. We can give testimony, and that's good. But now, today, I'm talking about, you know, telling and giving testimony for what God has not yet done. In other words, you haven't seen it, but God has already done it, as far as God is concerned. But you just haven't physically seen it or experienced it. But you can give testimony ahead, you know. Now, to use your testimony as a weapon, because Revelation 12:11 says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and loved not their lives unto death. So there were three things there that they were using as weapons. The blood of Jesus, which we all know about. I mean, most believers, Pentecostals, and everyone of them say, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. You know, sometimes it's just like they're just chanting the thing. But we know how powerful it can be. We know that, you know. And loving their lives, not loving their lives unto death mean, look, they are sold out. They're just not, it doesn't matter, you know, what the enemy will bring to them, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're sold out. It didn't matter what penalty faced, you know, are threatened with and so forth. They were sold out. So, no, they're not going to bow. You know, and that's how they got the victory. But this one here, you got to make sure you have this one in your bag of tricks. Testifying about the situation even before you see the victory. I've been trying to get people to do this, but people still don't understand how to do it. You know, sometimes you even hear people say, well, you know, I'm waiting for the full testimony and I'll give it later. You know, testimony is still developing and I'll give the full testimony later. Why? Give the testimony now. You know, if you wait until the battle is over to give the testimony, which is good. That's how I started with that today. But in that case, it's not a weapon. You know, it's just, you know, you're using it to give glory to God, and that's fine. It can only be a weapon while you are still in the battle. You know, so if after the battle you give your testimony, that's great, and we should do that. But it wasn't a weapon then, you know. In order for it to be a weapon, the weapon is used in the fight, not after the fight. After the fight is over, you lay down your weapons. So, you know, when the fight is going on and you are able to testify of the victory that God's going to give you, even when you haven't seen it, that's a weapon. That's a powerful weapon. You know, the best example I can think of that, obviously, is Abraham. And you've heard me say it many times. He used his testimony, you know, as a weapon. He changed his name. So what Lord told me to do it. Well, he changed his name. You know, Abraham, you know, was, you know, his name before it was changed. Abraham meant great father. Yeah, which, I mean, there was already some greatness inside of him. You know, because his name meant great father. But you could be a great father of one, right? You could be a great father of one. But the Lord enhanced his name by changing it to a father of a troop. you know, so, because, you know, that's what it changed. You know, you'll be father of many. You'll be father of a troop rather than just a great father. And so he started to use the new name, you know, as a testimony, even before it happened. Took him many years, but testify, even by his change of name, that I will be the father of nations, because God said so. And carry that testimony, even with his change of name, carried it like that for many years before he actually realized the thing. And I could just imagine all the times that people try to call him by his old name and say no. Either he wouldn't respond, or he'd tell them that, well, my name is Abraham. And he was using that as his testimony. Well, how can you be the father of nations, many nations, you know? Father of multitudes is what it really meant. When you don't even have a single child, you start with one before you get many. But he was speaking it by even the change of name, speaking it out, you know. You know, couple weeks ago, I, you know, brought something forth in this room that you can name your day or name your situation. You know, I released that at the church as well. You can name your day and name your situation. It's a powerful thing. It's not just, you know, random naming. It's using that name as a testimony to change situations. You know, so yeah, I even gave people the assignment to figure it out. Most people didn't do it. Not yet, even at the church. 1 week I came in and gave, you know, spoke about it. And then I said, well, next week, you know, between now and next week, you figure out all the names that you're going to use to change your situation. And then when we come together, we're going to do it. I came in next day, next week. I said, anybody remember the announcement or the assignment? Somebody said they did. The rest of them, they didn't even remember. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a powerful thing. You need to learn how to use it. Change the situation today by testifying about it. The same kind of thing like naming your day. You know, when we started this room over 3 years ago, God gave us a charge. And by the grace of God, we've tried to keep that charge. And one of the things was, gave it to us out of Deuteronomy 6, 12 and 13. Keep the fire burning every morning and so forth. Crank up wood. But also, you know, there were two scriptures then. The second one was, you know, this thing in Psalm 110 that he spoke to us, you know, out of verse 3. So let me read that one to you. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Well, you know, it takes a determined effort, you know, to, it takes self-discipline also. The day that God's doing things, it takes self-discipline. Get up in the morning. Some of us have to get up real early in the morning. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. That's where the secret is at. the womb of the morning, you know. Womb represents pregnancy. That's what womb is. The main purpose of womb is to carry that pregnancy. Well, this scripture is revealing to us that the morning has a womb. You know, if somebody is pregnant or something is pregnant, they got to bring forth something. You know, so if the morning is pregnant, that means it's carrying something that it's going to birth. You know, you can sit back and watch, or you can be proactive and make declarations over the day, and it will testify of the goodness of the Lord before the day is over, and give him praise. Well, you can give him praise for what he has already done. That's good. But you can give him praise for what he has not done. Now, if you begin to give praise for what God has not done, I mean, that you have not yet seen, you're believing God for something, you haven't received it, but you are praising him for it. Wow. That's like putting God in a corner. You know, because now you are giving him praise. He hasn't done it yet. In his mind, he may already have done it for you, but you haven't physically seen it, but you're giving him praise for it. It's kind of like you're putting him in a corner. You know, and if you know how to do that, well, you start out incrementally with your day. In the morning, in the womb of the morning, you command the day. You know, and don't let the day get away from you. Give testimony. Ah, wonderful things that the Lord has done for me today. You haven't seen anything yet. You're just starting the day. And you just tell of the goodness of the Lord, all that he has done. You know, that's a strange way of doing it, because we generally wait until the Lord does the thing and we give testimony. And that's good. But today I'm saying, give the testimony before, you know, the end of the thing, while you are still in the fight. You give the testimony, and then, you know, you are ensnared. According to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2, a man is ensnared by his words. You are taken by your words. If you give a testimony such as, I am healed, when you are still sick, well, you know, then, you know, you are ensnared by that word. You know, you are still sick. You say, I'm healed. Well, then act like you are healed. So I tell people, if you say I'm healed, then get up from the bed already. Praise the Lord, you know. Don't lay down all day long and say I'm healed. Well, if you're healed, then act like it. Get up from the bed already. Shake thyself from the dust. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Psalm 52 and verse 2. I mean, Isaiah 52 verse 2. And declare your liberty even before you physically get it. Now, it's a powerful, powerful weapon. It can be, you know. And then one day, you know, in the trials of Job and everything, what they were going through, the Lord came to him and said, look, you know, because at one point in time, Job started to wonder too, you know, about these things. I mean, why am I going through this stuff? You know, so the Lord said, well, okay. Gird up your loins as a man. Let me speak to you. I'm going to ask you some questions. And answer me now if you think you know these things. You want to question the Lord? You know, let me ask you some things. Tell me, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Job 38 and verse 4. Who laid the measures thereof? Tell me if you know it. Upon what is the line stretched? Whereupon are the foundations fasting? Begin to ask him these things. Cornerstones, by the lay. You know, where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you? He began to ask him. He said, look. And then in verse 12, he asked him this powerful thing. He said, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? You know, Job didn't even know how to do it. Can you command? Have you done it? I mean, in command the morning. The morning is carrying something. It's got a womb. Can you influence what the day is going to birth? Can you do it? Well, God asked Job that. Of course, Job put his hand upon his mouth. He couldn't speak a word, you know, when God was asking him all these things. But the secret of the matter is, by God asking Job these things, we now discover that it's actually doable. You know, it is doable to command the money. Job didn't do it because he didn't know how. But, you know, one day the Lord revealed this to me that, wow, so you can actually do it. Well, this, you know, along with Psalm 110 verse 3, see that womb, yeah, that money is carrying something. So you gotta do something about it, you know. So you can just let it be, let whatever will be, you know, or you can do something about it. So what are you going to do about it though? Your testimony ahead of time. That's what you're going to do about it. You know, if you are looking for something, I mean, let's just say you're waiting for, I mean, we've had situations like this, right? You know, people, they ordered, you know, some material they're going to use for the wedding and so forth. The thing is not arriving and it's taking weeks and months and they don't know where it is and, you know, and so forth. Well, you can get up someday by revelation and say, today, I will receive that parcel, you know, and begin to thank God for it. And they say, well, you know, and somebody say, when is that thing coming? Say, well, you know, I'll get it today. Now, you don't know that you're going to get it today, but you are declaring that you're going to get it today. You know, and if your faith is powerful enough, if you can declare it, according to Mark 11 and 23, said, if you can speak it and don't doubt it, but you can believe it in your heart that what you said will come to pass, then he said, you will have whatsoever. See, you come to pass. The thing is that before you said it, see, you say, well, what if the pastor is even nowhere close to coming to me? How can I say it and then receive it today? The thing is still somewhere in China. I'm here in the U.S. No, you don't know that. Because God foreseen that day. He knew the day that you will stand there in the word of the Lord and make that declaration. He already knew it. Weeks in advance, months in advance, years in advance. He already knew that. Yeah, so nothing you can declare can take God unawares. Because God already seen everything before the day was. He said, I am. Hallelujah. And he's always been there. He declares the end from the beginning. He knows it all. Whatever, you know, you are going to declare, he knows it all. And so, but you can use your testimony that way. One of the things that I'm always trying to do is get people to believe God, you know, like this. And just use your faith for greater things. God loves it when people can use their faith. You know, you just have to dare to believe God. We heard the testimony of somebody in this room just some days ago where they said, it's not possible. We cannot give you back that money. We don't do it. It's not our policy. But she stood right there and said, well, you will give me back that money. And she said, we'll see about that. You know, she stood right there, you know, and, by faith, the Bible says, you know, she spoke the word, stood with it and received that which people said could not be done. It's the same thing. Wherever your situation is, you stand right there by faith. You can even influence the outcome of different things. There's a story I want to share with you, which you know, because I've told this story before. It's, you know, it won't be the first time you heard it, but if it is the first time you heard it, then that's good too, because it's a good story. You know, from Genesis 29, we begin to read about Jacob, you know, trying to marry somebody, you know, out of the Laban's daughters. And the man had two daughters, right? Jacob loved Rachel, but Leah was the older, and Rachel was the younger. Now, the man was pleased to give Jacob his daughter to wife, but in his heart, he wasn't going to give away the younger before the older. So even though Jacob served the man for 7 years for his younger daughter, the man tricked him, you know, and presented to him the older daughter. And when he found her, I said, "What have you done? You know, I served you for your younger daughter. Why have you treated me like this?" The man said, "Well, it's not done in our custom. We cannot give away the younger before the older." I said, "Well, why didn't you tell me that in the beginning?" You know, he said, "Okay, well, you know, the love that this man had for Rachel was so powerful. And the band told him, well, I tell you what, serve with me another 7 years." He already served 7 years. "Serve with me another 7 years, and I'll give you this other one also." "Okay." And I said, "Okay, fine." And he wanted to do it because he wanted Rachel so bad. Now, after he served the other 7 years, now 14 years, it's time to get Rachel. Laban comes up with some other story and different things. Every time he's like, "Look, when am I going to build my own family? Give me my wife. Let me go away so I can build my own, start my own family. I mean, I can be your servant forever." And the man said, "Yo, look, I've seen how God blessed me since you've been here." "Really?" So that Laban was a user. Let's tell you that right now. Was a user. You know, okay. Because Jacob being around, God a blessing, his cattle had multiplied tremendously when Jacob was in charge. But there was a blessing on that Jacob man. And he said, "Well, you know, the Lord has used you to bless me. So stay here so that the Lord can use you to bless me even more." "Well, what about Jacob himself?" You know, and every time they agreed on something, the man changed Jacob's wages, even not just tricked him about his wives, even for his wages, 10 times. Change his wages, you know, and it would trick him out of something. So finally, Jacob had it up to here, and God was looking the whole time. And, you know, one night the Lord showed him, "This is how you're going to get the wealth transfer." That's right. All of that trickery and everything. Jacob himself was a trickster. But, you know, Laban out-tricked him, cheated him out of his wages, cheated him out of getting his wife, made him serve double. In fact, he ended up serving 20 years, you know, there, before, you know, Laban would do anything. So in the meantime, the Lord came to Jacob and said, showed him in a dream, "This is how you're going to influence, change the course of nature." Now, you say these things cannot be done. It has been done in the Bible. You know, God left a witness, you know, and this man, you know, one day when the Lord showed him that, so Jacob came to Laban and said, "You know, there have been times in the past when you guys were trying to accuse me that I stole, and I never stole anything. All your sheep are here, you know, but here's what I want." "So what are your wages? Tell me." You know, "So well, here's what I want. All the goats and cattle that you don't like, let them be mine. Nobody liked the spotted and the grizzled and so forth. You know, everybody liked the plain, nice looking, just smooth one color." So you can pay me with the spotted, the brown ones that have brown and black and different colors that you don't like. So that way, if you see anything else with me that's not what we agreed on, it will be clear. You will know that I stole them." I said, "That's a good deal." They said, "Okay." So they agreed on it. In the meantime, this man, Jacob, is going to change the outcome of things. You know, God showed him I gave him a revelation. He said, look, you can actually influence the outcome of these cattle when they mate and make them bring the colors out that will favor you. God already showed him that. That's why he made that kind of deal with him. He said, cool. And God showed him what to do. Took a stick, you know, carved off the stick with, you know, different grizzled look. When the strong cattle that had the strong GNAs were mating, he put the stick in front of them. He said, well, this is the color that you're going to bring forth, and they will be mine. And, you know, and all those strong cattle, every time they brought forth, they didn't matter what colors they were to start with, they brought forth the colors that Jacob determined that they will bring forth. That's right. That's a man that can order things, have faith, power from God. You know, God told him one time, you're a prince, you know, a power with God. So he did this thing, you know, and every last one of those strong cattle, they would always bring forth the colors that were agreed that would be Jacob's, which Laban didn't want. But whenever the feeble cattle that had the poor DNA, lean and feeble, when they were mating, Jacob just left them alone. And those guys brought forth the other kind for Laban. But they were mean-looking cattle. And all of Jacob's were fat and flourishing. But Laban couldn't do anything about it because this is what they agreed to. But see how Jacob controlled even nature. It's a beautiful story. You can read all of it, or many chapters, you know, in there. And, you know, he said, you've taken away, you know, all of mine. He said, well, I didn't take anything. You agreed that these colors will be mine. And the Lord saw that you cheated me and said, the Lord has rewarded me. You know, so what are you going to do about it? And the man was furious thinking what to do about it. The Lord came to him in a dream and I said, hey, don't say anything to Jacob, good or evil. Leave him alone. Touch not my anointed, saith the Lord. You know, but see how he changed the course of nature there. Well, God asked Job this question. Said to him, can you command the morning? Have you actually done it since your days? And tell the morning what to bring forth? Well, okay. Well, let's try to see. Let's see if anybody has some faith in the house. I can do it. I want to ask a question just like God asked Job. Can you do it? I mean, you know the womb of the morning is there. I mean, the morning has a womb, so it's pregnant. Well, what is it going to bring forth? You're going to just let it bring forth any kind of cattle that may swing in Laban's way? Or are you going to influence it to swing in your way? The day can bring forth anything, can bring forth trouble, but it can also bring forth an answer of peace in all the things that you are believing God for. Well, what is it going to be? Are you going to just let the day be anyhow? No, you're going to command the morning and speak to the womb of the morning, just like Jacob spoke to those mating animals. You're going to bring forth these things to my advantage. And it happened. God honored it. God's looking for somebody that would dare to believe him. You say, well, you know, that's stretching it. Not at all. Isaiah 45:11 says, you know, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. I've been hammering this down people's throats for a while. That's what God said. You know, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. If you know how to do it, you can do it. If you don't know how to do it, well, you won't do it. And if you say that I can't do it, right, then you can't do it. Because God said, whatever you say is what I will do. Numbers 14:28. You say, yep, God said I can command him concerning the work of his hands. Well, you go out there, you step out by faith, and you do it. And God will back it up. But you say, now, who ever done such a thing? I can't command God. Well, okay. Then you'll never be able to do it. You know, and I always tell the story of Joshua, you know, Joshua chapter 10, and verse 12, he was a man that actually did that. Because God said, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me, Isaiah 45:11. And Joshua went out there, and you know, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, Joshua spake to the Lord in the day of the battle, the Amalekites and all these things. And he spake to the Lord. But what exactly did he say? You know, it wasn't exactly the Lord he was commanding. He was commanding the work of God's hands. You know, that's right. The Amorites, rather, not Amalekites. You know, God spoke to, he said, the Amorites, you know, fighting them. The sun was going down. He needed some more daylight and stuff like that to finish the battle. And then he spake, we are told, to the Lord in the sight of all Israel. He didn't pray in a corner. Say, well, maybe it will happen, maybe it won't happen. Let me pray here in the corner. If it doesn't happen, nobody knew what I did. No. He spake boldly. Everybody was hearing it. Lifted up his voice to the works of God's hands, which were like the sun and the moon. The works of his hands. And he said, sun, stay over there. No going down. I got some business to finish here. Moon, you do the same thing. Bible says he spoke to the Lord, but it was actually the sun and the moon he spoke to. That's how he commanded the works of his hand. You speak to the morning. These things are the works of his hands. God created the day. Well, and he said you can command the day. All right. So let's command the day to bring forth some things. And you can do it by your testimony. You can get up and testify and say, mirror, you look at the mirror. Say, mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, and you say, I can see the reflection of Christ in my life. I'm looking more like Christ. I'm looking good. I'm looking like Jesus today. And Jesus said the day was made for man and not man for the day. And say, well, I can see some things. I'm looking in the mirror right now. And you know, when you look in the mirror, you can see your shoulders. Today, I can see goodness over my left shoulder. I can see mercy over my right shoulder. I can see it. David said it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, because he saw it. You can declare that goodness and mercy follow you for this day. That's commanding the womb of the morning. And you can use your testimony and say, that thing that I've been waiting for, today is the day of joy. Today is the day that I received that thing. You have not received it yet. It's not even anywhere close. But, you know, you step out by faith. You believe God. You do something. You challenge, you know, the day like that. And you know, if you know how to do it, first time you do it, yeah, maybe you may not get it right, but you keep doing it. It's like riding a bicycle. You try to ride a bicycle the first few times, you're going to fall off. You know, but if you quit, then you'll never learn how to do it, you know. So having your senses exercised, according to Hebrews 5 and 12, you practice these things. You know, don't let, you know, the stumbling around, you know, according to Hebrews 5:14, rather, don't let the stumbling around, you know, cause you to quit. You try the first time, it doesn't quite look right. You try it again. You know, if you do it enough times, you will actually become an expert in doing it. It'll become almost second nature to you. You know now that you can do it and God will back it up. Praise God. To back up your word, you can step out there and say, there shall be no rain except by my word. You lock up the heavens, you walk away. God said, cool. That's it. You know, because you said so, that's it. You know, and these people, some of them had tremendous faith. Well, you say, well, those people were prophets. No, they were ordinary people. They believed the Lord. That's why, you know, Abraham was not an ordinary person. He believed God and he stood right with it, you know. These people were ordinary people. They believed God. They stood right with it. And you can believe God the same way. And you can use your testimony today to bring forth the victories for tomorrow. So that's today's lesson. And I'm going to declare some stuff. And I want you to believe God with me. You know, we're going to testify today of something that I don't even have yet. You know, I don't care what it is. You know, maybe it's a job situation. You lost your job. You've been believing God, you know, for a job. Well, of course, if you lose your job, you got to be looking. You can't just be praying only because, you know, faith has, it's a triple fold action. Ask, seek, and knock. A-S-K. You know, so you got to ask in prayer, believing, Matthew 21:22, all things soever that you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, seek, and you will find. And Jesus said, because everyone that seeketh, that findeth, you will find. Knock! You got to get up there and knock on a few doors, looking for work. Do all these three things, you will find. And you begin to speak. The more, there's a powerful weapon which you have, which you have not been using. You know, say the word of faith is in your mouth. You don't need to go to heaven to bring Jesus down. You don't need to look in the grave. He's no longer there. But where is it at? The word of faith is in your mouth. This word that we speak, even for salvation, you got to speak it. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You got to speak this thing out. And that testimony is by the word of mouth. You know, you speak it out. And the Lord said, you know, wow. You know, whatever you said, whatever you speak, that's what I'm going to do unto you. You speak good things. My heart is indicting good matters. Well, whatever your good things that's indicting, you speak them out. Don't ever speak the negative thing. Negative thought comes to your heart, you drive it away. It's like Abraham was preparing his sacrifice. The birds were coming down. He drove them away. Don't even give the negative thought a chance. But the good things, which the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, said, if there's any praise, if they're honest, they're good, there's virtue, there's this and that, and so forth, powerful testimony into your heart, well, speak those things out. Think on those things and speak them out. When you think on it, because Jesus said, well, you know, out of the heart comes these things. First, it's in your heart, you know, hallelujah. And then you speak it out. The preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The Lord will put a word of faith in your heart. You think about it and then you speak it forth. Now, because it came from the Lord to start with, see, you can't speak anything that God has not yet spoken and think it is going to come to pass. That's not how it works. You know, giving you that scripture multiple times. Lamentation 3:37. You cannot say something that God didn't say already and then expect it to come to pass. That's not what's going to work. But because God already said it, you found it in the scriptures to be so. God puts it in your mind. Then you declare it with your mouth. And then God said, because you have declared it into my ears, then I'm going to do it. It's a full circle. It starts from God and it ends with God. It's a full circle. That's why I always say, whatever God is going to do, he has already done, even before he started to do it. It's already done. God will never do anything until first he has finished the thing. It's already finished. Before the world began, he had already prepared a kingdom. Matthew 25:34. We didn't see it. Nobody saw it, but it was prepared. There was nobody to prepare it for, but he prepared it anyway. Praise God. The Lamb was slain before the world began. There was no sin, no Adam, nobody, but he was slain anyway. This is how God does his things. Before he does it, he has finished it. And if you can believe that, my goodness, you know, it's already finished before he even started it. And so when you find that word that is in alignment with what you are believing for, you use that word. You can testify about it already. Why do you got to wait, you know, to see it physically? God never waited. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. It's that simple. You know, same thing with Jesus, you know, took the bread, you know, the little boy's lunch, and the, you know, the bread and the fishes. He just blessed it, gave it to the disciples and walked away. He didn't look back to see what was happening. He was done. As soon as he put a blessing on it, it's done. Just put a blessing on it, put in the hands of the disciples and just walked away. I already gave them instruction what to do with it. Sit them down in companies and do this thing. He told them. So he did his own part, looked up to heaven, put a blessing on the thing, put it back in their hands and said, go do what I told you. And he walked away. It was done. Didn't even need to look back. It's done. Huh. Praise God. You know, so now it's up to the disciples to run with it. Disciples had to take the bread and be dishing it out in 50s, just like he said. And they got to keep believing. See, after the first set of 50s, and you only had a few crumbs in your hand, and the thing has not diminished. Actually, it looked like it's increasing, but it never diminished. You got to believe for the next set of 50s. And the next set, and the next set, and the next set. You got to keep believing. And in the hands of the disciples, not exactly in Jesus' hands, but in the hands of the disciples, the bread and the fish were multiplying in the disciples' hands because they dared to believe what Jesus said. But the fearful and the abominable, according to Revelation 21 and 8, must say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, we cannot enter in the promised land. Oh, we are grasshoppers. Oh, they are giants. They are going to consume. Well, God said, well, yeah, that's exactly right. He will consume you and you will not get in there. But for the righteous that are bold as a lion, you can come out there, believe the word of God and declare. God will back it up. You know, God's not afraid of anything that you can command. You know, he already said you can do it. And if you do it according to his word, he'll back it up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that's my lesson today. I want us to use our testimony starting today as a weapon. You know, you can use it as praises unto the Lord. It's a good thing. We'll cover that. But the part that we don't do enough is to use it as a weapon, you know, in order to get the victory that is yet to come. You testify about it in advance. You know, even before the victory, and then you'll see it. It'll come. You declare ahead of time that you're father of nations when you don't even have a child. Well, you declare what the day is going to bring ahead of time. You declare your situation that's going wrong. You declare that it is good already, even while it is still wrong. Hallelujah. Even while you are in the valley of the shadow of death, you declare that you are going to make it to the other side. You know, when I pass through, because you already know you are coming out on the other side. No matter what you are going through, you declare that you are coming out on the other side. Even while you are still going through, you are waiting for that job, and you've already interviewed for it. Well, you declare that you are the chosen one. Glory to God. That's right. You know, I'm the chosen one. I'm the favored one. Because according to Psalm 5 and 12, you know, God will surround the righteous, you know, with a shield, with favor as with a shield. To bless the righteous and surround him with favor of the shield. Say, I'm the favored one. That's my middle name. Can change your name to anything you want. You believe God, he will honor it. Say, well, I'm the chosen one. Whenever I'm in a competition for someone to be selected, I am the chosen one. You need to be married? Well, you change your name to Hephzibah and Beulah. Huh? Glory to God. That's right. You say, well, Hephzibah, well, that means the Lord delights in you. Well, you say, well, I've been left behind. Nobody looks at me. Well, change your name. You know, you say, well, you know, I'm not married. Well, you change your name. Beulah means married. Hephzibah means delight in her. You change your name. Change your situation. Name the situation. Name the day. But do it ahead of time. Don't wait until the thing happens, then you do it. But do it ahead of time. And God will say, wow, I can see how she's believing. Now, what I say? God holds a meeting, council, you know, with the strong angels that exceed in strength. He calls them Psalm 103:20. It's a group of them, you know, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Well, they're waiting for that voice from your mouth. And they say, well, you have your orders. all you got to do is, you know, just keep listening. You know, once they declare my word, that's it. That's your trigger. That's your cue. You know, you go to it and see to it what they have declared. Cause it to come to pass. That's the meaning of let there be. That means cause it to come to pass. What they are declaring. The angel said, okay, I'll stand upon my watch. You see the angel standing there and say, do something. He said, no, I have my orders. Yeah, you can't do anything until that word goes out of your mouth. When you command that day, when you speak that testimony of the Lord, even in advance, you've empowered the angels. Now they can do something. Praise the Lord. I am going to declare powerfully for you today. I want you to zero in and zoom in upon your situation. What is the thing that you want God to do for you? You say, well, you know, I declared it last week, but it didn't work. Well, declare it again. Praise God. Declare it again that thou mightest be justified. Say, well, I've been there, done that, and so forth. Jesus told Peter, say, do it again. But this time, here's where you're going to cast your net. Glory to God. You know, he will always tell you, do it again. You know, don't give up and believe God. You declared it last week. Well, declare it again today. You know, what you got to lose? You know, but you say, well, you know, yeah, you know, that's where your faith comes into play. That thou mightest be justified. The more you can declare and believe God, you know, the more God will work for you. So declare it again, again, and again. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare it again. You might be justified. Well, tell God what he said. That's what put me in remembrance means. Not that he forgot. Just mean telling what he said. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray for your children. Now, can I get someone to believe God with me in this room today? You know, believe God for yourself. Believe God for your children. Believe God for your grandchildren. Believe God for your siblings. Believe God for your friends. Believe God. You know, just believe God. And let's believe God together. Now, I want you to zero in on a situation that looks like impossible. Well, impossible is nothing with God. There's no such thing. You know? And if I can just get you to believe God this morning and begin to use his word in advance of the situation to testify. Say, well, this is what God said. God said, you know, that I'm more than a conqueror. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. I already triumphed over this situation, no matter what. You know, I already won. Praise God. You know, that thing which you said you are not giving me, which is mine, I'm going to get it. And it begins today. Glory to God. Now, Father, as your people believe God together, we believe God together this morning. Cause it to rain. Glory to God. Let there be rain. A rain of favor. Glory to God. Rain of miracles. Rain of blessings. Rain of open doors. You know, doors that have been closed. Where the devil gloated against you. And I say, Ephrata, be thou opened up. Glory to God. You know, be opened up. Be opened up. Be opened up. You know. Yeah. Open up and receive the glory of God. Open up and receive the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. God is causing an opening for you today. And when he opens, then the Lord says, well, then go forth. Thank you, Jesus. You become fruitful. Glory to God. In the place where you were called unfruitful, I say, I call your name Ephrata, which is fruitful. In the place where you were called forsaken, I call you Hephzibah. In the place where you were called alone, I call you Beulah. And then you can call yourself any of these wonderful things. The day that looks gloomy, I call it the day of joy. And I begin to testify and make merry even before I see that thing. Because God is watching over my words. God's also watching over his word in my mouth to perform it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this understanding in the heart of your people. I give you, Lord, the praise and I give you, Lord, the glory. Now, prophetically, let's declare what's ahead. Yeah, that's what prophecy is usually, is declaring what is ahead. So we call this room prophetic. Using your testimony today to bring forth tomorrow's victories. So let's prophesy in the name of the Lord. Now I prophesy good things for you. You know, and you can prophesy for yourself. You can say, my heart is indicting good matters concerning my life, the king, everything. And I declare goodness of the Lord upon my life in Jesus' name. You can declare this day will bring forth glad tidings of great joy for me. I will receive an answer of peace concerning that situation. And in fact, I can see it. I can smell it. I can taste it already. Can you smell what the Lord is cooking? I can smell it. He's cooking it. And today I'm going to eat it. Because he's setting a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. And I will rejoice in the name of the Lord. In his name will he set up my banners, even for today. And I call this day blessed. Glory to God. I call this day fruitful. I call this day the day of gladness, the day of joy, the voice of merriment, the voice of gladness never cease in my house. You begin to declare it for yourself. And I declare it for you. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, the voice of the bridegroom even, and the voice of the bride, the voice of the mother, and the voice of the child. The voice of they that say, congratulations for your new job. So the voices you will be hearing in Jesus' name. We declare it so. So it is spoken, and so let it be. Thank you, Father. We give you a lot of praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.